Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.
Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm Adam Wozniak, and I'm joined here today by my good friends and co-host Alex Stoker and Darren Parkinson. How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Doing great, Adam. Good to hear. Yeah, did you guys have fun at Dave's ribbon ceremony?
Oh yeah, yesterday. Yeah, that was great. I'm really happy for him, and you know, I was kind of really happy to be a part of that, and I was thrilled that he asked me to come. So.
Oh yeah,
lots of cool stuff going on in his warehouse too.
Yeah. Shout out to Dave Wallins and GCI. Congratulations, man.
Yeah, that was it's a really great event. Just to meet people, see everything that he does, and just the scale and the size of his warehouse. Wow, that took me back.
Oh, I was just whoa. Williams Brothers Catering. That's what got me.
I love Williams Brothers Catering.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. It's so good. Now, for those of you wondering who that was, that was our guest today, Sabrina Lowry. And she's here to talk today. She's here with us today to talk about a number of different things. We're very excited to have her. Sabrina, how you doing?
I am great. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm thrilled to be live on air today. Hey, everyone. We're going to make sure we're live streaming so you guys get the best of both worlds here.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, yeah. We're having a little dual, maybe triple effort here. We got Biz Radio U live right now on BizRadioX.com.
Okay.
And we have what?
This is live on my Facebook page. This is facebook.com/ Sabrina Lowry, R-E Tech.
All right. If you guys want to get a live look, that's where we'll be. You see how we all look. I don't know. I know if you want to see all that. Sabrina, you're fine. The rest of us. Yeah.
I'm sparing the audience my face, so we're good.
Yes.
I'll get you in there. All right. So just to start us off, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing right now?
So I am a realtor. I own a real estate brokerage called Legacy Realty and Management. And Legacy Realty and Management is 5 years old now. I just celebrated my 5th anniversary last month, and I am the proud owner. We handle sales, we handle rental properties, leasing, and property management for both residential and commercial properties throughout 9 counties of the metro area.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. I mean, that's covered all the bases there with that.
Well, we have international and domestic investors whose properties we manage. Some we help them flip. So I am the project manager of renovating homes, and I'm a professional house sitter, so better known as a property manager.
Mm-hmm.
And we handle everything from tenant procurement services, tenant screening services, marketing and advertising rentals, including Airbnb.
Oh, wow. Wow. How long have you been doing that?
I've been in real estate for 14 years.
Oh, so I'm sorry.
This new piece, the Airbnb piece, is this year, kicking off the Airbnb piece.
And how's that going for you? How easy was that to integrate?
It's actually been easy because the property we're using right now is very close. It's in Vinings. It's a 2-bedroom, 2-bath condo. Mm-hmm. And I was able to help some displaced Hurricane Irma family members that came in town from Florida. One of our investors that had a property available and just said, hey, they need a per night, a per week, or whatever. And this is what that business model looks like.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Problems and solutions. That's entrepreneurship at its finest.
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said you've been in real estate now for 14 years. What made you decide to get into that? And where did that start?
It started because I became a homeowner, and my realtor was fantastic. And she had a similar background. She had an IT career. I love to support women in tech. And I felt that if it was something she could do, maybe I could do it too. And my experience with her was absolutely seamless. We got to the closing table and was handed the keys. And she looked at me at the end of it and said, do you think you can do for others the service that I just did for you? Then you can be a realtor too. And it was that simple.
And when, like, once you like figured that out, what steps did you take to?
I literally signed up for an online course. Actually, I went to class. I went to class for 10 days at Barney Fletcher Real Estate School, full time, full days, 2 weeks, and took my state test, and I was licensed two weeks later. That's how motivated I was.
Wow. Congrats.
Congratulations.
Absolutely. It was a lot of work, but you know how it is when you put your mind to something and you want it so bad. I wanted to leave that job. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have an exit strategy and a plan. And I also wanted something that could earn me the same, if not better, income, plus the flexibility of being a mommy, because I have three sons.
Mm. Yeah, see, I love what you hit on there, because education with a purpose, that is the key, because you had a purpose to be there, purpose with like the end result, why you needed this and everything. And that's the difference. I feel like a lot of people that just kind of stumbling around, just checking off that box, going to college, doing classes, like, I'm not sure why I'm really here. Is this relevant? How do I use this? But when you go with a purpose, it's completely different.
And at that point, I can't even say that my purpose had been defined, Darren. To be honest with you, I wasn't at a place where I felt like my mission is to help people become homeowners too. No, that's evolved over 14 years. That's been the joy and the reward that I get at the end of every single day when I hand a family a key. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And that means that they've started a legacy and a wealth building plan as a family unit. And I wasn't taught that when I was growing up in New Jersey. My elders owned property. They believed in that, but it did not trickle down the generational tree to my mom, my dad, me. And so by the time I was 25, I've been in my house 15 years. So I was a homeowner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What is a typical day in your shoes like?
That's a great question. So I begin my day between 4 and 5 a.m. every day, just quite naturally. The alarm clock is, that's what I do. And my 7-year-old is pretty hungry by 6. So I'm on mommy duty and getting him off to appointments and therapy or his school day. And this week has been fall break, so it's been a little bit more relaxed than the typical day. And I would say the first 2 weeks of the month for me as a broker is pretty strenuous, because that's rent collection. That's when my real estate investment portfolio is cashing and moving money.
Right.
And so I'm on top of that. And the second 2 weeks of the month, it's more of this. It's more, I have time to go market, brand my business. I get to reach out to the masses and do shows like yours, including my own podcast that I do weekly now. And my experience yesterday that landed in my lap with Kennesaw State University that I'm so excited that we'll get a chance to talk more about, that I'm able to then be a mentor. And not just to high schoolers, but to all ages, because my platform is technology. And having that platform, there is no age limit. So if I can help you with your Google, I can help that person's mom or dad type thing. So then it becomes a family unit again. Everybody's talking tech, and it's pretty cool. Yeah. I really enjoy that piece. The teaching piece is in my wheelhouse naturally. And I believe that my next level, if you will, when you ask what's happening next, what's going on with you, is that teaching circuit and being the greatest instructor, high demand. You know, all the students want my class. They're kicking my door in for mentorship hours. And I just see myself in that light.
That's great. Definitely seems like you have your hands full and there's a lot of different things that you're juggling. Like you mentioned, you have your own podcast. I mean, I'm definitely interested in hearing how you started with that.
Yeah. You know, being in technology, video has evolved, right? And in my space, I didn't take the plunge earlier. I didn't feel like having a YouTube presence was the way I needed to go 5 years ago when I started my company. Did I have one? Yes. But that's almost like telling everybody you need a website. So then it's like, well, how long after they get the website did they actually build the website? And so it became that. So the trends in real estate tend to lag behind. And in real estate, video podcasting, virtual tours, and drone photography and videography has evolved. And I'm heavily involved in all of that. Mm-hmm. So what I've done is I've basically rented studio time every Tuesday, every month, and I dedicated 6 months with this videographer to live stream every Tuesdays. And my show is called The Geek Tank TV.
Oh, I like
TV.
Yeah, The Geek Tank TV.
Now, was that hard for you starting off? Like public speaking, I know lots of people have an issue like starting off and talking. And I'm wondering if you ever had that issue. I have a friend of mine that recently started podcasting as a way to kind of get over that fear of having to talk to people. So I'm wondering if you had anything similar.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to point out that yesterday, the way you engaged in public speaking and everything at the event was really inspirational. And like the way you can engage with people is absolutely incredible. So
thank you, Darren.
Please elaborate on how you got there.
Yeah. So you know what I actually aspired, since that was one of our words yesterday in our acronym, my topic yesterday was called, Do You Know Your Real Estate? And so I spoke to almost 100 students, and that was my 10 life principles to being successful and possibly being an entrepreneur, because that's their dream. That's their goal. And so one of the letters, the A, stood for aspirations. And I aspired to be on Broadway when I was a little girl. So, you know, the family member that calls that one niece up all the time at the family dinners and the Sunday brunches, Sabrina, sing the Lord's Prayer. Sabrina, sing the hymnal from church. Sabrina, your uncle needs you to sing because he's ministering at church this Sunday. It was that. Mm. So has there ever been a shy bone in my body? No. So the public speaking piece is not my, I should say, it's easy for me, but what's not easy for me is the message and what audience. So it took me a few days to put together yesterday's content, because now I'm speaking to high schoolers where I've been traditionally talking to adults. So it's almost the same message. So Darren, do you feel like your 10-year younger self would have received that message yesterday the way you did as yourself today, kind of thing?
I don't think the last week me would have received the same message. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the piece for me. And I got help for that. So I have mentors too, you guys. So even if people look at me like, but you're so awesome. Well, you know, awesome people have mentors and coaches too. And my goal is to become a better platform speaker, because my podcast, you can sometimes kind of see where my eyes might shift a little bit. I'll do a little more umming than I should if it were scripted. That's the piece I'm gaining skill set. But the speech, the content writing, my blogging, everything that I write and put together, it's me. It's coming from my spirit, my soul, my experiences. And I think I'm a pretty good writer. I wrote a book in December and self-published it and launched it, and it's now available on Amazon Kindle.
What's the name of that book?
My book is called The Entrepreneur's Blueprint for Digital Dominance. And it is all about the steps that one takes going from corporate America with no entrepreneurial experience, without a business background, starting a business and launching it online using some of Google's tools.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So what are some of Google's tools?
Number one, YouTube. Hello. We have a YouTube channel now. And since Google has acquired YouTube, that's a natural progression into the video side of one of their tools. I also use G Suite. I talked about that. It's Google's platform for business owners that allow them to have their intranet, email hosting, cloud storage, Docs, Google Drive. Mm-hmm. That's the platform that I use at Legacy. So I'm my own IT department for $5 per month per user as I grow and shrink my team. So you talk about budget friendly, you talk about user friendly, and then you talk about tech friendly, meaning any level experienced business owner can at least have an email platform by logging into Gmail. A Google Docs platform, there's an app for that. A YouTube channel, you can do videos that you put on your phone that simply will upload right to YouTube, right? Via the app or the website. So those are ways that I just help and teach and train people because they'll sit and watch me and shadow me and I can put something together in 30 minutes where that would have been a 30-day process for them. So I help lessen your learning curve by making it fun. Yeah.
Now, a lot of, I guess, an initial hurdle a lot of people have here with jumping into the IT side of things, like being their own IT department. Was there any like learning curve for you jumping into the Google Suite or like, do you have any advice for people that are maybe they're a little hesitant or nervous at all about jumping in?
Absolutely. Great question, you guys. I went through Accelerate with Google. Mm-hmm. It's a free 3-month training program for entrepreneurs and small business owners to learn how to use their products, including Google AdWords, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a big.
That's how they make their money, by businesses building ads. So I help businesses create their campaigns to use Google AdWords, which now they had step one. We talked about a website. And then step two, now you've got a podcast you're trying to direct people to. And then how do they find your place? Are you on Google Maps and Google Places? And so once you put it all together and you build AdWords campaigns, Accelerate with Google is the program that I went through in order to launch my website. And my business was only a year or two old, and I launched at Google.
Mm-hmm. Did you measure growth rate at all?
Absolutely.
Now, did you notice any substantial gains from that?
Absolutely. And it's consistent. It's a trend, if you will, right? Certain things trend higher depending on a topic or a message, and then others. So I've been running Google AdWords campaigns for 2 years now. So 2014 is when I kind of started my Google presence, and now we're at 2017. And I study my analytics on all the platforms, my websites. I'll go into Google Analytics to see how many clicks I'm getting and what's my ratios versus what I'm spending and how much am I spending, because I cap my budget within these Google AdWords campaigns too.
And does Google Acceleration Program, does that help explain like what some of those data analytics mean?
Absolutely.
So that's included?
It is. That's their whole premise. Is for who knows about analytics and knows how to study it and report it and all that
decipher
stuff. Exactly. So what I did is I learned through HubSpot. Y'all have heard of HubSpot. Yes? No?
I'm not.
So they're a third-party analytical-based IT software company that helps you do Google, if you will. Build your online presence, study your analytics, grow your target market. What do your campaigns look like, and so on?
Okay. It helps you get into the nitty gritty of the numbers.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Again, most entrepreneurs start out as solopreneurs. Mm-hmm. They don't outsource that. So for me, I'm a techie. How much sense would it have paid the third party versus I can pay myself in time, energy, schedule it in, everything else. And for 3 months, I knew I had a commitment to this program. They were all entirely online-based virtual trainings. Mm-hmm. And we got to talk with our coaches when we had issues building our campaigns all the way through graduation and a certificate that says you graduated from Accelerate with Google. You're now a Google certified expert. Mm-hmm. And that's some additional training I've done. So if you go on Google and you're wanting to become a certified Google specialist, you know how millennials feel like they know it all? Oh, you know it all. You know everything about Google. Well, get certified and then be a certified Google provider in your services. Mm-hmm. So you think about the mobile phone companies or what's one of the popular Experimac? Think of those companies, the resale Mac products. And then they have someone there to teach you and train you how to use Google.
Okay.
You're already there. So isn't that like building onto your services? You're repairing something, but then somebody has an issue. They crashed all their email. You could offer them a solution because you know how to integrate Gmail. So you could take that business model and incorporate some per hour fees because you're able to help somebody set up a Gmail on their computer.
Right.
They didn't know anything about it. They were a Hotmail or user or Yahoo user, whatever. Oh boy. So do you understand the power behind that? Most people have a Gmail. Mm-hmm. The percentage of multiple email addresses and the ability to use one platform to get all of your email. Mm-hmm. I helped one of my coaching students integrate 7 email addresses into one Gmail account.
Oh, boy.
That's what I do.
I think I have like 4 on my phone, 4, maybe 5.
Mm-hmm. I have 3 or 4. They're all separate, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the power. And it's like, if you don't know what you don't know, you just don't know.
Right.
Yeah. It's like you can't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
And it seems like a lot of the stuff that you're doing is you're trying to teach people that are starting off, that are, like you said, trying to figure out how to integrate other emails into one and stuff like that. So when you were starting off, you know, with your first venture, did you have someone that was kind of like in your position where you are now that was able to, I guess, mentor you, teach you the things that you wanted to know? Or was that kind of something that you figured out by yourself and maybe that's why you're providing that service now for others?
Both.
Okay.
So you know how you try to outsource certain things?
Yeah.
You watch what they do for you and the price associated with that. Mm-hmm. And then you're figuring out, is that something I can do on my own?
Yeah.
So out of all my tech pieces, the only piece I've sent out was my website development.
Okay.
Okay. So everything else, self-taught. Set up my own YouTube channel, all of my own graphics, the actual content. Every single video in my shows is my own. There is no script writer. It is either something I felt in my soul that week, that day, that hour, or it was something that is from one of my courses.
Okay. That's really inspirational.
Thank you.
And also, just to double back just a little bit, you mentioned the importance of certifications in certain areas. I feel like there's a lot of different certifications and different avenues and different parties to go through. What is one way you weigh the credibility and the value of a certain certification? Because it takes a lot of time and effort. So how do you go about saying, this is worth my time?
Absolutely. And that is a great question. I am a life learner. I don't feel that there's any lesson that in one day I wake up that I'm not going to learn something that day. And I never want to be the smartest person in the room. It could be intimidating. I just, you know, that's just ridiculous. I learned from 16-year-olds yesterday, you know, and I was very impressed by them. And so it just becomes that. I'm a mom. I learn from my sons, my husband, every day. My team members, people that I work with, and the mentors that I have. They're helping me get to the level I want in my success journey. When I first started Legacy, did I have a business plan? Absolutely. I'm on year 5. Do you think I have a business plan for 2018? Absolutely. And does it show my growth and track and I could pull all of my financial statements to see the actual return on the investment, absolutely. So I'll pick and choose. When I invested in the Accelerate with Google, there was a $0, but a 3-month time. So how do I weigh that? You're like, if I've now since wrote a book, sold some books, talked about it, been hired to talk about it, that was well worth a 3-month investment. And then, for example, the certification that I have from the National Association of Realtors is called ePro, the letter E, Pro. It's the only certification available to realtors in technology. And that meant I took an online course. It was so many hours, maybe 30-something hours of CE. And after you complete that and pass the exam, you are a certified technology specialist for realtors as a certification that I paid for. Was that couple of hundred dollars worth the investment? Absolutely, because that shows credibility. When people are otherwise researching your resume, they want to know your skill sets, and there would be one of them.
Now, earlier on, we mentioned KSU a couple different times. Would you speak to your involvement in that, which event specifically?
Yes, absolutely. So I am one of the newest members of the KSU Entrepreneurship Center's mentoring program. And I'm so excited that I have been asked and chosen for this role, which is a 1-year commitment. They will match me up with one female Entrepreneurial Center student, and we'll get to do our thing every month together until they graduate so that I may support them at any level in their journey to entrepreneurship. And it could be something as simple as, I don't have a Gmail and I need to get an account with one place I can pull 7 email addresses. Or it could be, how do I create my business with the Secretary of State to, I don't know how to write a contract and I want to hire my first employee and pay somebody because I'm going to go do an ice cream event. I don't know. I'm making up stuff, but it could be anything. It could also be my mom and dad are getting a divorce and I have nowhere to turn and I just need somebody to talk to. That's what mentors do, right?
Right.
Did you ever have a mentor?
I mean, not directly and scheduled like what you have right now or what you have going on right now, but off and on, yeah.
How about you?
Kind of my methodology with it is I kind of realized that I looked up to people as experts in one area, and it made me feel like they were experts in every area. And I kind of realized that a lot of people are limited and they are very knowledgeable in certain areas. So I started getting involved and taking advantage of a lot of different opportunities and placing myself in positions where, like you mentioned before, I'm always surrounded by people that are smarter than me with more experience, life wisdom, things like that. So for me, I kind of have like a flurry of different people that I look up to, and I can always find a new avenue when something comes. Because my goals and my direction is ever changing, because as I grow and learn, I figure out new and better paths and greater opportunities. So I have kind of an adaptable way I look at mentorship, where I can ask people that relate to certain things that are relevant in certain times.
That's the mindset that you have to have. And you know, most people don't even have that.
Yeah.
So start with mindset. That's something a mentor does. Like, that's part of, I think, every mentor. It's almost like a counselor, right? Mm-hmm. Mentorship, counselor. It's kind of all embodied in that role.
First class in the entrepreneurship program.
And I'm so happy. I can't wait to meet her. You know, it's like, I don't even know who it's going to be. It's like grabbing a rabbit out of the hat. I'm looking forward to this. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was at the Connect Health South conference yesterday at the Georgia Aquarium. And one of the closing speakers actually presented there about mindset and the importance of having the right mindset to take all this technology and everything going on and push it in the right direction. Because when you have the bigger picture in mind and understand how the pieces work together, that's how you can heard it in the right direction to help everybody.
That is correct. So here's how my topic birthed. I knew I had to talk to high school students. I'm in real estate. So I took that word, but then I also took the 10 key pieces that I felt would help in their journey, whether they became a business owner or not. Because I don't know if you noticed in the back of the room, did you see their instructors and advisors taking notes too? That was pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. So again, it's something that reaches the masses, right? They didn't feel like the smartest person in the room yesterday. If you're sitting taking a couple of nuggets, a couple, I'm good with a couple. That means you came in with two things more than you walked in with or you're going out with.
Yeah, it's funny. I have a problem too when I feel like I'm one of the smartest people in the room. I almost feel like I'm trapped, like I'm in a cage. Like I can't move. So yeah, I fully relate to that.
Yes.
And yeah, I also really believe that whether the numbers are close or off, but you really are the average of the five people you spend most of your time with. So
absolutely, which is why I have to have the mentor too. And not only that, but it just helps you prioritize. It helps you stay organized. And for me, I am one of those people. I'm a process person. So like I said, I know how the first 2 weeks of the month look in my life. That's my business model. Then I get to relax and play and integrate some other things. But I also serve on several boards. I do things like volunteering. This mentorship program is not a paid opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's a passion opportunity. Don't we like those? Mm-hmm. Something that fills your heart and just your soul. And it's a win-win. You know, people look at successful people like they're inhuman. I am human too. I like hugs too. I like eye contact. You understand? Mm-hmm. I have to teach my 7-year-old that every day. When you talk to mommy's friends and you see people, you make eye contact. And I did that yesterday in the room, didn't I? To some of those students, they wanted to talk with their heads down and not look at me when they were talking or just sit back in their seat all relaxed. I said, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the boardroom and you will conduct yourself accordingly. Did I not? Mm-hmm. We had fun, but it just teaches them in a more fun way. Is it still relaxed? It is, but it's to teach you maybe a little bit of etiquette. Mm-hmm. In a sneaky way. They got some leadership training in a sneaky way. Do you understand? Those sorts of things with the eye contact and etiquette, politically correctness when you speak. Mm-hmm. Those sorts of things. It happened in the room just organically.
Right. So I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can attest to that. That's what I was mentioning earlier when I admired the most is how engaging you were. Because I remember one piece of knowledge that stuck with me for a while. And it was one thing about Bill Clinton. Obviously, there's a lot of controversy around that man. But one thing he did great, people said, is even if you're in a massive crowd, no matter where you are, when that man talked to you, it felt like you were the only two people in the room. And that's something that stuck with me. And I try and do that when I talk to people. I try and engage. I try and make that eye contact. I try and really make them feel like their time right now is being valued.
And did you see how I walked up to every student? I looked everyone in their eye when they made an introduction because I wanted them to feel like I said something to them. How many times have you been in a class in the back of the room and your professor never acknowledges you?
Yeah. I mean, I can't attest to that because I typically sit up front on that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm that guy. I'm that girl. Like, yeah, but these people, it's just, why do they behave that way? It's what they're taught and trained and the way people around them behave. I mean, I would have asked, have any of y'all sat around a boardroom table before? Making executive boardroom decisions before? Do you know what that feels like? And that was their opportunity. So I just made it fun. I don't want to be the only skirt in the boardroom, you know?
Mm, gotcha.
Yeah, and one of the other things you did great was allowing them the opportunity to express themselves and also fail. Because when you ask them questions, you ask questions and then you ask for a different piece of it as they, like a lot of them were shy in the beginning because they don't know the answers. But then one person tried, then another person tried, another person tried. And at the end, everybody collectively kind of came up with the right answer. And it was about encouraging people to try, because I feel like people in today's society, school, everything, failure is just not an option. And that's when it comes to learning, failure is key. So, like, people talk about entrepreneurship, the road to success in entrepreneurship is paved with failure, mm-hmm. and learning from that. So
I shared my failing moments. I did. I was very transparent yesterday. I may look perfect and the business may look perfect, but have I hit some stumbling blocks? Yes, I've hired the wrong people. That's a stumbling block. Like, mm-hmm. that is a major setback. And I talked a lot about human capital, didn't I? So people were like, what is human capital? And they thought they knew the definition. I said, that's your team. Mm-hmm. That's almost the biggest investment in your business, the skilled workforce. And how easy is it to find those skilled workers?
It's almost by luck. That's how we did it.
Exactly. And so that's been my challenge too. And I wanted them to know that. Don't think that I've hired all the right people. I've gotten to these levels of achievement because I didn't fail and stumble, you know? And then I did the demonstration when I was walking down the room, and you know how you just trip and you try to recover gracefully. I did that as an example, and almost everybody raised their hand like, yeah, I don't want to be that guy or girl that trips and falls and everybody sees me and laughs at me. I might want to act like I meant to do that.
I've been there.
Yes.
On the big steps at KSU going into the business building.
Yeah.
Wipe out. Or yeah, almost.
Not fun. Almost. There. Almost.
Yeah, I guess it's not about how you fall. It's how you pick yourself back.
Exactly.
Up. Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I was talking about, because people that sit in that fallen position, dwelling on the fact that they fell, it's like, don't you have just a little bit of power within you to get back up? And they just find it easier to stay there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Business owners don't have time to stay there.
Or money.
I don't have time to stay there. I have to recover. I have to restore. And that's just been the chain of events and the way things have evolved in my career. I didn't start out teaching. I just know I wanted to know everything I could possibly do with my real estate license. When the market crashed in 2009, don't y'all think that was an epic fail? That was epic. I got a job in retail, y'all. Mm-hmm. I've never worked retail ever. But I was the best darn stylist in the store, and I sold the most in the store, and I got back to business at the end of that day selling real estate to compensate for my loss of income. So is that a humbling moment? Yeah, check yourself. You're not too good to go and work for somebody to earn some keep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've got three babies looking at mama like, I'm hungry.
And you can't just sit around feeling sorry for yourself. It's so easy to do, though. That's the hard part. It's the easiest thing to do, and it's the natural reaction.
Honestly, the scary part about it for me is I've realized, and I come to terms with it, it feels good to feel sorry for yourself. It feels good to be like, oh man, that was a rough day. The world's against me. Oh, because you bring yourself down. You're like, you
feel like the victim.
Yeah, you kind of like, push responsibility off your shoulders. Like, maybe, you know, you feel like the world's out to get you, because at the end of the day, you don't want to admit that, you know, maybe it's a test I failed. I should have studied harder. It's like, oh, it's easier to say, oh, my professor hates me. It was a bad week. You know, the test was too hard. But I don't know. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just kind of popped in my head.
Please, elaborate on that as much as you can. That's one of the biggest things I've realized too, is just self accountability, and just not accepting your, just not taking your hand that you're dealt with in life, and actually just taking what's around you and then moving up. Because we live in a day and age where it is easier than ever before in human history to move up levels. And at the same time, it's also just as easy to move down levels. And at the end of the day, it's up to you and your accountability. And yes, sometimes the world is going to knock you on your butt. Honestly, no, the world will knock you on your butt more than the times that you're successful. But it's just about how many times you can take a hit and keep moving forward.
That's correct. That is absolutely the truth. And I am a living testimony.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like, that's why I I say this now with like a badge of honor. I know it sounds silly. My people might question me, but really think about when I say this. I cry myself to sleep like quite a few nights out of the month, honestly, because some days are just rough and, you know, you just got to let it out. And the next morning, I pick myself back up and I just keep moving forward.
I appreciate your transparency because I do too. I do. It just happens. And what about those times where maybe you lose someone close to you? How many relationships have I lost over the course of my journey, guys? Oh, it's depressing. It's so bad. The mindset of people that started with you over there, and I know you've all heard the term, there's a reason and a season.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that though? It's like, I only had this person in my life for 3 years, but what was the reason? And then I've had people in my life for 30 years, and I want to know why. So it becomes that whole relationship piece, their mindset versus yours, and individuality. Because my dream is my dream. You dream differently. You might have nightmares, and you might not sleep at all. But we show up to the same job 9 to 5 every day, and people, you don't know what they're dealing with, internally or externally, physically in the world. So I'm just a conscious-minded person. And I think that's what helps me. That's what leads me. I live by the light. I can't stand darkness. And it's almost so powerful that, have you ever walked in a room and felt a dark cloud? Like, you're just like, what is up in this space? The energy wasn't right. Or maybe it was a one person, like that one that has the dark rain cloud following them. And it's bad. I get away from that as quickly as I can, because it affects me. And not only that, but most times those people run from me because my light is too bright. You know how that feels too, right? People totally avoid you, won't make eye contact. They'll just make sure you don't see them. And that is a real life thing.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think the main reason for that is? Because for me, I feel like it's almost like they know where they are. They know what they do. And it's like, oh, I hope they don't judge me. I hope they don't see the real me. I hope they don't see what I'm doing here. What would you say it is?
That is it, Darren. And it's, they don't want you to see their real self. No, be your real self so that I know. That's my thing. I hate fake people. Don't put on a show for me. I want you authentically as you are. I might even love you more that way. Seriously, if your spirit is that you're a blood-sucking leech of a person, and every time you're around me, you know I'm going to pick up the tab, I'm going to get sick of that over time. And this is not just personal. This is in business, right? So if we're collaborating and we're going to do an event, and you're supposed to do this part of it, and I'm doing that part of it, well, if you drop the ball, how am I looking not just at you, but how is everybody looking at that situation? And that's in personal life and business life. And I tend to like my reputation to be all that and a bag of chips. And I want people to come back for more. And I want them to have an experience. It's all about an experience for me. And like yesterday, my goal was to touch every student in some way. And I don't care if it was just to make them smile. They could have left a home that they got a beating before they left. Who knew? Or they didn't have a meal until they had a meal on campus. You don't know. So when they sat down around that board table with me, I wanted them to receive some light and be encouraged and get inspiration and motivation. And just know, you can dream too. I dream every day. I'm over 40 and I still dream.
Mm-hmm.
I dreamt last night about what I would look like on the show today and what would I talk about and did I need to script something? And no, So, yes, I am a dreamer.
I'm glad you were thinking
about it. At 9 o'clock when I was emailing you after the end of my day. Absolutely.
All right. Well, Sabrina, well, thank you so much for coming on. This has been absolutely fantastic. So enlightening. And, man, I wish I was there yesterday.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. I'll see if I can make it to the next one.
Darren got some video, so you'll have to share it with your guys.
Please do.
It was so much fun. For me, it was just being in that classroom and seeing myself and looking back this evening. This morning, I was looking at the couple of shots that I was able to get and our selfies in the room. And it just really humbled me. It really let me know that people kind of look up to me a little bit, and I'm proud of my journey. I'm proud of my story. Am I done yet? Absolutely not, because my goal is to be Professor Extraordinaire at the Entrepreneurial Center on KSU's campus, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Well, we have one final question. It's kind of our wrap-up question here. And Sabrina, let's say before you got into realty, before you got into anything, right when you were just getting started with your career, what is one thing that you know now that you wish you knew then? You can take a second. It's okay.
Yeah, this is our hot on the spot question. Mm-hmm. Everyone has that deer in the headlights. So that's kind of our purpose of this question, because it's
the only tough question.
We want to leave our audience with that one last piece of advice.
Wow.
So you've given so much good stuff. We just want one more.
Okay, I do know.
Okay. Lay it on.
Financial responsibility.
There we go. That's
And do that's you know why? I was never taught that, y'all. And I hate that I wasn't. I would be at a whole different level if my mom had that skill or thing that she passed down to me as a single mom. My mom had me at 16 years old, you guys. Mm-hmm. So do you think she was taught financial responsibility, or that she learned how to manage? Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's the one takeaway. So if I had the financial skills that I have today, budgeting 101.
Right.
Using my debit card wisely. Monitoring my credit. Absolutely, I would be in a different place. And that is my key takeaway.
Right.
Financial responsibility.
I think we could all use that advice. Everyone our age, and especially students. You know, Maybe the majority of students have to at least take a serious look at student loans. So, I mean, how many summer jobs really pay for a semester?
No.
Yeah. No, like there's maybe double digit amount of jobs that'll actually do that. And I mean, I did one. I was lucky enough when I worked in a manufacturing plant, but that was very different from like Kroger.
Yeah.
You know, I busted my butt, and Not many people have the opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're going to have to take a hard look at student loans. I know I did. And being able to like successfully manage and figure out like how much I'm going to have to pay and how long I'm going to be paying, you know, working out every contingency plan in case like, you know, I got a better job or I didn't get a job at all, you know, just kind of working through all that really just, it let me have like a level of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I didn't worry about it. I mean, you know, you worry about it, but you don't.
You sleep better at night.
Right, right. It's not keeping you up. It's not running through your mind right before you go to bed and keeping you up an extra hour. And then that messes you up the next day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree. Thank you for your honesty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a big, real thing. And maybe that's a part of the message that I add for some of the future mentees, is that financial piece, because I didn't talk a whole lot about that yesterday.
Just some practical knowledge.
Absolutely.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Balance a checkbook. Who has one, first of all?
Well, you know, I wish...
I have one.
I don't.
You guys laugh. I have one. I use it. It's how I pay rent.
And it's one of those things that I kind of wish we would have learned in high school. Because looking back, it's like, I didn't learn that, but I was in home economics and learned how to sew a blanket, which is cool. But you know, how useful can that really be unless I'm selling the blanket?
How about that?
Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of something that I wish I would have learned too. I mean, I'm learning it now. I learned it in college, but like you said, if you could just learn that in an earlier stage in life, you'd probably be somewhere else.
I totally agree. Financial literacy. Mm-hmm. Let's all campaign for that.
Yeah, there you go.
A global mission for financial literacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that would make the world a better place. Yeah.
Absolutely, it would.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that's not how they make their money. So that's, I guess that's part of the reason the system's in place. But you're absolutely right. And I love that piece of advice because I'm very worried about the next bubble that's going to pop. The first one was most recent one was the housing one. I think the student loan one is going to be the one we have to look out for because it's just too normal to just say, hey, I'm going to invest this much of my life into something that, like I mentioned before, I'm not quite sure what my reason for being in college is, but I'm going to invest this much money and time into this without having even a remote purpose of why I'm there.
Yeah.
And that to me is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you for everything that you do and helping people get to that point where they can have the mindset to start to think about these things and do that. We need more people like you and get your message out there.
Thank you so much for helping me share my message and for just seeing that in me yesterday. And also for just everything that you guys are doing on this platform. It's amazing. And so kudos to you.
Thank you.
Now, I guess the absolute last question is Twitter, Facebook, maybe contact information that
YouTube.
You'd like to shout out? YouTube, website?
Yes. So
you got it all.
I do. I am on 7 social media platforms, ladies and gentlemen. Just Google Sabrina Lowry. You can connect with me primarily on Facebook, 2nd, LinkedIn.
All right.
And I do tweet a time or two. My handle is at Sabrina Lowry. That's SABRINALOWERY.
All right. At Sabrina Lowry.
Sabrina Lowry.
We'll
and that's
that
my
there.
Website. That's my YouTube. It's all my name. Mm-hmm. I branded me.
Are you the first Sabrina Lowry? I guess I can't speak. Sabrina Lowry to pull up on Google?
I sure am, and I worked hard for that.
It's all about that search engine optimism.
That's right.
There you go.
I'm still trying to be number one.
You can be. Google yourself right now.
There's
do
like,
something about it.
Oh, yeah. get the numbers up, everybody out there.
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks so much. I'm Adam Wozniak.
I'm Alex Stoker.
I'm Darren Parkinson.
And we are Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.